Our text this morning is found in the Gospel of John, chapter 5. We're going to begin reading with verse 18, and we're going to read on through the end of the chapter. It's a rather lengthy portion of Scripture, but it gets to the heart of our discussion for the day. So follow along with me. John chapter 5, verse 18 and following. This is why the Jews were all seeking the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father. Making himself equal to God. Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing, and greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted to the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. If I alone bear witness about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who bears witness about me, and I know that the testimony that he bears about me is true. You sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Not that the testimony that I receive is from man, but I say these things so that you may be saved. He was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. But the testimony that I have is greater than that of John, for the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself borne witness about me. His voice you have never heard, his form you have never seen, and you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe the one whom he has sent. You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive glory from people, but I know that you do not have the love of God within you. I have come in my Father's name, and you did not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, on whom you have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" This is the word of the Lord. Father, as we look at this passage, we ask that you would give us an understanding of what you want to teach us today. Amen. You know, there is one thing which the Mormons and the Jews and the Muslims and the Jehovah's Witnesses And all monotheistic religions outside of Christianity believe. They all believe that Jesus was not God. They all deny the deity of Jesus Christ. Oh, they think that he's a good teacher, he's a good prophet, but he's not God. The lengthy passage which we just read, it demands some extra thinking. Because if you heard someone say the things that Jesus says in John chapter 5, you would probably conclude that he needed to be institutionalized. He makes some pretty dramatic claims. You do know what they call people who claim to be God. They call them crazy. And yet here's Jesus in John chapter 5, to summarize that chapter, saying, I am God. John, of course, summarizes it for us in verse 18 of the text. This is why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him. Because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, that is, he didn't keep the rules, but he was even calling God his Father, making himself equal with God. And that is the crux of the difference between our faith and every other religious system in the world. Is Jesus Christ God? And John chapter 5, Jesus makes a defense for his deity. And I want to show you a whole bunch of passages which affirm the deity of Jesus Christ. I hope that you've sharpened your pencils or that you have extra ink in your pen, because I'm going to give you a lot of verses. None of them are going to show up on the screen. So I'll try to go slow so you can get them down. The first thing I wanted to note is that Jesus declared his own deity. Jesus believed he was God. He thought that he came from heaven. John chapter 6, verse 38. Jesus believed he came from heaven. John 6, 38. John 8, 23. Jesus believed that he was not of this world. John 8, 23. We all recognize the beginning of the Gospel of Luke, where at age 12, Jesus said he was about his Father's business because he had an inner conviction of divine origin. Joseph was his earthly father, but he wasn't the father that Jesus claimed when he said he comes from the Father. He claimed to have equality with God, John chapter 5, 17 and 18. He claimed to have the honor which was due to God, John 5, 22 and 23. In John chapter 8, verse 58, he used a terminology which every Jew present would understand when he said, before Abraham was, I am. It's a very unusual construction that could only have been interpreted by anybody who was listening that Jesus was claiming to be Yahweh. That is the name that God gave to Moses and said, call me Yahweh. Say that I am has sent you. And in John chapter 8, Jesus says, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus said, I'm God. In John chapter 10, verse 30, Jesus claimed to have oneness with the Father. John 10:30. And he claimed to have the faith of the Father in John 14. There is little doubt that if you take the Bible seriously, and if you have a red letter edition, if you take the red letters seriously, there is little doubt but that Jesus said he was equal to the Father. Now that presents an interesting dilemma for those who deny the deity of Jesus Christ, for those people who want to suggest that Jesus was just a really good man, a really good prophet, because he was either a liar, claiming to be something he wasn't, or he was, you know, cuckoo, cuckoo. Really? You know, it's like saying, hey, look at me, I'm Napoleon. Because you can put your hand in your... Okay. You've seen the pictures of Napoleon, right? If Jesus was a good man, how could he say these things? If he was a great prophet, how do you handle the fact that he thought of himself as more than just a great prophet? But for the believer in Jesus Christ who accepts the Scripture, we know that when he claimed equality with the Father, he was speaking truth. How do we know that? Well, it turns out that not only is his deity declared in Scripture, but it is demonstrated through Scripture. It's demonstrated in numerous ways, and some of them are so common that we just let them kind of flow off our back like water off a duck's back. Those poor ducks getting dumped on with water all the time. Jesus showed that he had power over nature. He stilled the storm. He had power to walk on water. He fed the 5,000 people with a few fish and bread. He had power over death. You think of Lazarus, the three guys that came before him when Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. I often wonder, why don't those guys get their name put in Scripture? He brought Jairus' daughter to life. He had power over disease. He had power over demons. Now I realize I could have been giving you specific passages to point to for each of these, but it's not all that bad for you to look some stuff up on your own. Power over demons, Matthew 8:28, and power over sin. He had the right to forgive sins, Mark 2 and Matthew 9. The Old Testament actually prophesies that the Messiah, the Son of God, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, would bring sight to the blind. He would cause the lame to walk and the deaf to hear and the dead to be raised up. These are all things which Jesus demonstrated in his life, which give us confidence that the one who declared himself to be God demonstrated that fact through the way he lived. So his deity is declared and demonstrated, but it is also defended through Scripture. To do this, I'm going to ask, as you're taking notes, to put a couple of verses down. They're going to go together. So it's an Old Testament verse with a reflection in the New Testament of how that is realized in Jesus Christ. So it presents an interesting dilemma for those who claim to accept both the Old Testament and the New Testament, because if they were to study that carefully, they would see that the Old Testament meshes with the New Testament to defend the deity of Jesus Christ, beginning with the idea of creator, with God being the creator and Jesus Christ being creator. Of course, you have Genesis 1:1, but also Isaiah 40, verse 28, and compare that with John 1:3, that Jesus Christ as Creator. In Isaiah chapter 45, the Messiah is called the Savior. Isaiah 45:22, and then Isaiah 43:11. And compare that with John 4:42. In the prophecy of Joel 3:12, the Messiah is called the Judge, which is the role of Christ in John chapter 5, verse 27, and Matthew 25, verse 31. Isaiah 60, verses 19 to 20, affirms the Messiah as light, as does John 8, 12. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, talks of the Lord, Jehovah, being a shepherd, as does John 10:11, talking of Christ, the good shepherd. In Isaiah 41:4 and 44:6, it speaks of God being the first and the last, which is reflected in Revelation chapter 1, verse 17, and chapter 2, verse 8, where Jesus Christ is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Isaiah 62, verse 5, and Hosea 2:16 describe God as the bridegroom, which is the same picture painted of Christ in Revelation chapter 21, verse 2, and Matthew 25, 1 and following. The Scripture is full of passages where Jesus claims to be God, He demonstrates that He is God, and the Scripture defends that claim. In Psalm 18, verse 2, God is a rock. Compare that with 1 Corinthians 10, 4. Psalm 148, verse 2, God is worshipped by angels. And Hebrews 1, 6, Jesus Christ is worshipped by angels. Psalm 148, 5 talks about God being the creator of angels, and Colossians 1:16 talks about Christ creating angels. So what's the point? Jesus Christ is God, fully God. What do you call someone who claims to be God? Crazy. What do you call people who follow somebody who claims to be God? Deceived. They're drinking the wrong Kool-Aid. But there's a catch. If you claim to be God and you walk on water, you're more believable. If you claim to be God and you raise someone from the dead, it should get people's attention. If you claim to be God and you can point to prophecies written hundreds and hundreds of years earlier, and you say, "This is what I'm doing in fulfillment of that prophecy," maybe, just maybe, your claim is true. We live in a society which is pluralistic, a society which wants everybody to be able to believe whatever they want to believe, that it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere in what you believe. Where the society wants us to say there's really no difference if you're a monotheist. Just to clarify, monotheism, mono, it means one, okay, for you kids here. Theism is belief in God. So monotheism is the belief in one God. Christians are monotheists. We aren't pantheists or polytheists. Pantheists believe God is in everything. Polytheists believe that there are many gods. The Greeks were polytheists. They had a god for everything. Christians are monotheists. We believe there is one God, creator of the heaven and the earth. And what is important about that is that society has a tendency to bunch all monotheists together. They say, oh, well, you believe in God. And some people will tell you that the Muslims believe in the same God that we believe in. We have a response to that. Hogwash. Yes, the Muslims are monotheists, but Allah is not God. And this is important for us to get into our bones. That there are significant differences between monotheists. There is a significant difference between a Christian who believes that Jesus Christ is God and others who deny that. We believe that you can hardly call yourself Christian if you deny the deity of Jesus Christ. Because the scripture teaches it clearly. Christ claimed to be equal to the Father. He demonstrated his deity through the actions throughout his life, and it can easily be defended through the study of scripture. What this means is that we as believers in Jesus Christ are different from other monotheists. And the conclusions which others draw concerning salvation is always wrong because it doesn't depend upon Jesus Christ. When I was teaching Sunday school class this morning, one of the girls said, "So what is a Muslim and why can't we just get along? The world says we should just get along, right? I mean, the world says, you're both monotheists, can't you just get along?" Well, I said, we can get along if we don't take the Bible seriously. As long as we don't take the Bible seriously and they don't take the Quran seriously, we can get along. But if you take the Bible seriously, there's a huge dividing line between us and the Muslims. Because we believe that Jesus Christ is God and the only way to heaven. And they believe that if they take the Quran seriously, they believe that you ought to kill all the infidels. That's us. We believe in the way of love. They believe in the way of eradication. Why can't we get along? Because that which is dearest to the soul of the Christian is denied by the Muslim. It is an offense to them. It is an offense to anyone who denies the deity of Christ when we stand and say, Jesus Christ is God. And at the heart of what we believe as Christians is this core belief. You cannot be a mature believer if you do not believe that Jesus Christ is God. So if you came in today and you're kind of wishy-washy on the topic and you've bought the argument of society which says, all monotheists are, they're alike. Study the Word. Remember, we started this discussion on fundamentals of the faith. We started with, what do you believe about the Bible? Because if the Bible is the Word of God, then we have to come to the conclusion that Jesus Christ is God. And because we conclude that, we have to reject any faith system, any monotheistic system, which denies the deity of Jesus Christ. And that means that we have to reject Islam and Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and Judaism. It's a dividing line. And as for me and my house, we will stand on the side of the deity of Jesus Christ. If you have questions about it, I gave you lots of passages. And I can give you my notes that you can reach your own conclusion. If you take the Bible seriously, you have to agree that Jesus Christ is God. It changes our perspective on the world. It gives us confidence to believe in the one who has said he is the judge of mankind. And those who believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It is why we pray our 5-second prayer every single week. Because it doesn't matter if you believe there is one God. If you deny Jesus Christ, you're wrong. Well, you're not wrong about there being one God. But if you deny Jesus Christ, your destiny is damnation. That's why we pray, Heavenly Father, please draw, and we fill in the name of one of our loved ones, one of our friends, to Jesus Christ, and make him an ambassador of Christ. We are drawn to Jesus Christ because he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. Amen. Let's pray. Almighty Father, we thank you for the Word of God, which teaches us so much about life. But mostly today we thank you for the Word which teaches us about Jesus, who declared himself to be equal to the Father, who demonstrated that in his deeds, and whose deity can be easily defended through a study of Scripture. Help us to always be found in the camp of those who declare Jesus Christ is God. Amen.